Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Riopel Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Riopel Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's Johnny.
Yes, good morning, a Saturday edition to episode 178. Appreciate you hanging out on a Saturday. We just do a quick hour on Saturdays, get you caught up on everything like the Giants over the White Sox trade in the NBA today. Jonathan Kuminga, now the clock starts. And the big story yesterday, and it was probably three quarters of the way into the show, and people alerted me to this. You see on the cover of the show today, episode 178, Dima Lenore, not a big deal, but not ideal. That's how I would phrase it. And if you're one of those people who are pissed at me, and there was a bunch on social media yesterday, and I will explain that and I will show that if you're not familiar with it. But good morning, good morning, good morning. We will say roll call in just a second for episode 178. If you are new, thank you for hanging out, especially on a Saturday and getting up at around 10 a.m. Pacific time and watching the show. Please subscribe to the show on YouTube, John Lund Unleashed. That would be outstanding. Please make sure you have those alerts on because we send out stuff during the day. And if you'd hit us with a like, that would be amazing because then the algorithm hits us and says, oh, that show's not horrible. Thank you for watching this morning on X at John Lund Radio, also the Bay Area Sports Collective. You see that big B in the corner? That's the Bay Area Sports Collective. So that is my show. That is Tom Tolbert. That is Rod Brooks, Quality Hang. Lots of ex-KNBRs like Pauly Mack and Creative Tony, as well as Amy G, who's got an awesome podcast / YouTube show, and the great Jeremy Affeldt, former Giants pitcher, talking Giants. So lots of good stuff today. Let's go through the chalkboard, then we'll say good morning to everybody and get into everything. No big deal, but not ideal. That's how I would phrase the situation with Dima Lenore. And I will tell you, and if you're not familiar with this whole 40 days thing, it is a big deal. And that's why, while I won't make too big of a deal of it because it's a misdemeanor, but it is not ideal. And if you don't understand why, and you're one of the sheep that jumped on my social media page because you don't understand how this works in an NFL locker room and leadership and what that's all about, I will explain. The Giants win in Chicago against the White Sox. Roop was solid, and Bailey gets a hit, and he gets a little bit of luck in addition to it, and it was a much-needed win. I did not love those Bulls uniforms, by the way, that the White Sox are wearing. I would love your opinion on it. So we'll get into that conversation as well. It is official on Jonathan Kuminga in terms of the tender. So he was tendered the $7.9 million tender, and now it's up to him. And we got into this the other day and had the discussion. To me, all you have to do is go back to the piece that was written in The Athletic, and Anthony Slater did a great job with it. And he went out to Cleveland and talked to Kuminga, and he was working out there. And he essentially said, and this is no surprise whatsoever, I want my own team. It's time. It's time for me to see what I can do. He's curious of it. And the Warriors, the best they can offer is, hey, in 2 years, you might have control of this team. And I just don't think that's going to be good enough for Jonathan Kuminga. Whether you think he can be that player or not, he's as curious as you and I are about it. So that's why I think that Jonathan Kuminga will be gone. So we'll discuss Jonathan Kuminga a little bit today. Warriors second rounders. I meant to get to this yesterday and didn't have an opportunity to, so we will. People go crazy when Giannis could possibly be available. What are the odds saying? Again, the odds are stupid, but we'll just throw them up there because everybody loves them. Random things happen throughout the show, and I was going to give you the first job video yesterday, but we didn't get to it because what did we get into yesterday? There was a bunch of stuff. Then I think the demo thing happened late in the show, and so we didn't get an opportunity to get to everything. But anyway, that is what's going on today on a Saturday. Happy Saturday. I hope everybody is doing great. This morning, good morning to Kenny Smith, good morning to you. Hello, Pine Needle. Papa J, good morning to you. And again, these are people all in the chat room. If you come on over to John Lund Unleashed, you can hang out in the chat room. It is a great community that we have built here. And specifically today is a great reason or a great way to bring this up. You don't have to agree with me. If you don't agree with me and what I'm going to say about Dima Lenore, that is totally fine. This is a different type of a show. If you don't agree, that's fine. Totally cool with it. If you do, fine. If you don't, fine. I understand how this could tear people. I understand how people have certain glasses on when it comes to certain players. I'm just telling you, it's not ideal when a guy gets arrested in the 40 days that is emphasized before they leave, and I'll explain it in just a second. Good morning, good morning, and good morning to I don't know that I've seen you before, so I'm going to say hello. Buco, is that what I'm, how I'm saying it? Buco the pug, love pugs. Please like and subscribe to both channels. Thank you, my friend Papa J. Really appreciate that. Jake, good morning to you. I always have to do a beginning with Kenny because he has the analysis on the Giants very succinctly. The Giants are stuck with what they have. It's Devers, Ramos, Chapman, and that's it. Nobody is going to want the scraps. Hopefully they can make another move. I think they need to. Jake, good point there. Root looked pretty good with not so good a stuff. Yeah, somebody's got to step up in that third spot. That's just the bottom line to the whole thing. So anyway, good morning to everybody. And if I missed you or if you're coming in, I'll try to make sure we hit everybody as they come in. So good morning on a Saturday. Happy episode 178. Make sure you're subscribed, hit the like button, and please have those alerts on. All right. A bit of a shit storm yesterday, because here's what I did. I posted this picture, and this was just to give this context. So Dima Lenore gets arrested, or not charged, but arrested, and it possibly is a misdemeanor, late in the show yesterday. After the show, I post this because this is what Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson of the Falcons, and that's his brother Max McCaffrey on the right, they posted that on Instagram the day before. So people got upset because I posted that next to Dima Lenore, and I basically said, look, it's not ideal. It doesn't look like it's ideal what is going on with Lenore versus what's going on with Christian McCaffrey. Some people took the low-hanging fruit and said I was a racist. That's not true, but you know what? I've learned long ago that you're not going to be able to change everybody's opinion, especially when it's 40,000 people that reacted to that, people who don't know me, people who don't know the show, people who don't know my experience in doing what I've done. I can't change people's opinions, and it just doesn't bother me. I mean, it's, look, say what you're going to say. It's not true. It's stupid, but whatever. It's called what I call low-hanging fruit. The leadership is what I'm talking about here. Regardless of if it's a big deal, what's going to happen with Dima Lenore. And it sounds like he just wasn't cooperating, okay? Probably had a couple of drinks, wasn't cooperating with the police. They get overzealous. I get it. It's going to be a misdemeanor. And if it's going to be something, and what I would advise you to do is, you see Matt Maiocco right there, our good friend Matt Maiocco, criminal defense attorney Todd Baquette, chatted with me about the Dima Lenore situation, and here's what you need to know in 12 minutes. Go over to Matt Maiocco's channel at some point today, not during the show, but at some point today. And I watched it, and it's going to be a misdemeanor. It's probably going to be nothing, but that's not the point here. It's not the point. And I'm going to play a couple of things to explain why I think that. But Dima Lenore, and I'll play this for you in a second. And like I said, no big deal, but not ideal. No big deal, but not ideal. The whole purpose here is, and if you don't understand this, I'll explain it to you. Coaches in the NFL hate this 40 days. They hate it. All right. So before this happens in every single locker room, before they let him go, before the 40 days between the last OTA and the first training camp practice, you're on your own. And the coaches emphasize like a mother to the players, don't screw up. And I'll play a couple of cuts from you. All the media asks about it because we all know that this is a time of year that makes coaches and organizations nervous. They hate the 40 days. It's like, you know, go have a vacation, go. But what they think is everybody's in great shape. Everybody's adhered to the offseason program. Everybody's doing great. And then that 40 days, I don't know, you could get in trouble. You could gain 10 pounds or 20 pounds. You could, you know, all these different things could happen. And now there's no leeway between this, the last OTA, and the start of training camp. So if you're not in shape, if you screw up, if anything happens, then that's going to affect the season. Anything else, injuries get taken care of right away, all these different things. If you have something stupid in the offseason, whatever the case may be, it's okay. There's still time. Uh-oh, there's no time. Between the 40 days, if you screw up, if you gain weight, if you get out of shape, if you do something stupid, then there's nothing between. Now that could start to affect the season. So in 2024, the main thing that they tried to do in this offseason was get the taste out of the mouth of 2024. The holdouts, the hold-ins, the injuries, the screw, just everything. They just wanted to put it behind them. And what was the theme of all the offseason, everybody's like, oh my God, the vibe is so cool and everything's great. And that was by design by the 49ers. They didn't want any screw-ups. They didn't want any ominous signs. They didn't want any of this stuff. So again, if you're just hanging on low fruit and saying, oh, he said Christian McCaffrey's doing what he's supposed to do and Demo's not, and you're somehow equating that to race, you don't get it. It doesn't matter. It's the leadership, which Demo Lenore is now part of. That's an incredibly young secondary. So think about the leadership group of the 49ers, black or white. Fred Warner, Trent Williams, George Kittle, Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey. It doesn't matter what color they are. None of those other leaders would have screwed up. And I know it's going to be a misdemeanor and not generally a big deal for Demo Lenore, but I can guarantee you that when he gets back here for training camp, Kyle and the powers of be are going to sit down and go, dude, what are you doing? You're not a rookie. You're not a second-year guy. We just gave you a big, fat contract. And part of getting a big, fat contract, if you don't know, is now there's the pressure and you have to be a leader, like it or not, especially when you have a young secondary. The guy across from him that's going to be the corner across from him probably is going to be a second-year guy. Jair Brown's a third-year guy. Malik Mustafa's a second-year guy. You're the veteran. You're the leader in the secondary, and this kind of stuff can't happen. And it doesn't matter if it's a misdemeanor or something more. It doesn't matter if it's an overzealous cop. Just in that situation, and I don't know it. I've just read what you've read. It's just, hey, man, he's being an asshole. Maybe that cop is being a jerk. Just you cannot put yourself in that situation. You're a leader on the football team. There was all these problems last year. It was Camp Kumbaya. The 40 days, the coach has his fingers crossed. Please, no problems. It doesn't matter how small. So if you don't understand that, then you don't understand what this is all about. You don't understand team building, and you don't understand what it's like in a locker room, and you don't understand what it's like for leadership. That was my point. And that's okay. If people want to go to low-hanging fruit who don't know me, who don't know the show, who don't listen, who don't watch, who haven't listened over the 30 years that I've done this, that's fine. I've got no problem because I can't change people's opinions. And long ago, I decided to stop worrying about it. But if you understand this 40-day period in which coaches go, please no problems. This is probably going to be nothing, but it's the point of it. So here's Demo Lenore before he left talking about him being a leader now with this team.
Vocal this last few weeks, months or so?
Yeah, I feel like I've been very vocal this year, you know, as far as like just comparing it to last year and the years before that. I wouldn't really say nothing, but now I'm like more breaking down the team, you know, kind of helping guys out and, you know, just saying stuff when it needs to be said.
You don't want your leader doing stupid stuff. Like I said, it's a misdemeanor. It's not a big deal, but you're not getting the point if you think that is just that it ends there. It's not a big deal. But it's not ideal, like I said, on the cover of the show today. So you're going to come back to training camp and you got a second year corner and a couple of in a second year safety and a third year safety, and you're the leader back there. And what it does is it's about decision making. So if you're a good decision maker off the field, are you a good decision maker on the field? Hopefully the two are synonymous. Sometimes they're not. You can make dumb decisions off the field or at, you know, like I can make dumb decisions at work and good decisions in other parts of my life. I can be a good father and a bad this, or good that and a bad this. Like, I understand that. But a lot of times in life, good decision maker, bad decision maker. And again, maybe he had a couple of drinks. I've done stupid stuff. I've been arrested. It's happened to me. I mean, I know. And it doesn't reflect who I am, and it probably doesn't reflect on who he is. But what I'm talking about is the 40 days right now in which right before they left, Kyle Shanahan gave him a speech that said, dude, guys, these 40 days, don't screw it up. So it has to be in the back of your mind, even if that cop is being an ass, I can't get arrested here, man. I might be in the right. This might just be a misdemeanor, but I can't get arrested here. That's my point. So let me play these next few for you. So it's everyone's asked by the media about the 40 days because everybody knows what it's all about. So here's Demo being asked about the 40 days.
Quote unquote veterans and someone who's been through this the past couple of years. What would you say is the most important part of now until camp, just this break?
Really just tuning up your skills, I would say. You know, I feel like it's really about this next 40 days is really about, you know, excelling at your position and just being, you know, very real attentive and locking in on the details.
Again, I'm not, and I appreciate everybody popping in and having an opinion, and I'm absolutely thrilled to have your opinion. What I'm saying here is, and it isn't a big deal. It's a misdemeanor, but people, you're missing the point if you just think it ends there. Everybody asks about the 40 days because the 40 days is a big deal. It's part of the process. Listen to Kyle Shanahan talk about it. The 40 days are part of the process. And the reason why these 40 days between the end of OTAs and the beginning of training camp are so important is that if somebody does screw up, there's no leeway. There's no time to fix it. If you have an injury because you're working out, if you get involved in a legal situation, if you gain 10 or 15 pounds, it's all of these things which makes a coach nervous or an organization nervous, because the offseason, if there was going to be a screw up, any type of screw up, they want it to be at some point in the offseason and not during this period, because this can affect the season. And again, it's more intense this season because what the 49ers went through in 2024, and it's not only the things that actually happened, holdouts, hold-ins, injuries, it's just the ominous sign that they all point to. You and I have talked about this a ton from 2024, which is after a while, after bad thing, bad thing, bad thing, bad thing, bad thing, you know, these guys aren't robots. And it gets into their head like, it's just not our year. This happened, this happened, this happened. They started to pile up. And you and I can feel it as fans. We know when there's a great season. We've had this conversation, you and I. We know when it's going to be a great season. We know it's going to be a bad season. All the things start piling up. The 49ers wanted nothing to do with that. As small of a situation as this might be, you don't want your guys ending up on the police blotter, especially in the 40-day period. So here's Kyle Shanahan talking about how this 40 days fits into the offseason.
What have you said to them about how you want them to spend that time?
I mean, the biggest part is the work we put in already. The work we put in since April, whatever, since phase one, I've been extremely proud of the guys and what they've done. You put all that work in, and now we got these two practices left, and it's one really. And I mean, I almost want to cancel the whole week, but there's 20 guys out there who still really need this week, and then there's 60 guys who kind of, you know, they're just trying to get through this, and let's not get them injured. And that's kind of our biggest goal with everything. Everyone's put in the work. There's some younger guys who still need more reps, but it's knowing what you've done. Now get away from us for about 40 days. Some guys can stay here. We have the weight room open. We have all that stuff. But get away, assess what's gone on, work to improve that stuff. So when you come back to really compete in training camp, you've put in the work, and now you found a way to take a step forward. Like, I always remember, you go back to spring football or anything, and it doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. You put in all that work, and then you need a certain amount of time to get away so you can find a way to get an edge on people you're competing against, and that's that time for these guys.
All right, so that's the process of the offseason. There's it's in parcels, and all they do this, and then there's a speech before everybody leaves. I've been doing this 30 years. I've covered many football teams, and every coach says this. They give them a speech right before they leave. Don't gain 10 pounds. Don't get involved in the law. Don't screw anything up. Stay on your, you've worked all this way to have this great offseason. You got to finish it up. We got this last part. Go on vacation, you know, but stay with things. And it's right before you leave. So again, this is a misdemeanor. It's not going to mean a whole lot to Demo Lenore. He's probably not going to have to go to court. There's going to be nothing like that. There's going to be a small fine. It's embarrassing for him. I guarantee you, one of the first things he does when he comes back is say, sorry, I don't want to distract the team. That's the other thing, too. It's a distraction to the team. It could be small. It could be nothing. It could be tiny. He's a leader now. He's a veteran now. He's part of this group. He's part of this leadership group with Trent Williams, with Fred Warner, with George Kittle, with Brock Purdy, with Christian McCaffrey. These are guys who have this certain way that the 49ers do business. And even if it's a small, tiny thing like this, it's a thing. And it is emphasized before they walk out of the building for these 40 days in any way, shape, or form, whether it's legal, whether it's physical, whether it's staying in shape, whether it's just anything. Just don't screw this part up, because we're so close to the season. If you do screw something up, we can't bail you out. It's a problem. Then it affects the season. If you do something like this at the beginning of the offseason, whatever, you're not in shape, you can get in shape. If you screw up with the law, okay, by that time you've resolved it and your focus is on football. Like, there's just nothing. It's the bigger picture of it. I know it's small. I get it. It's not ideal. It's no big deal, but it's not ideal. So that's the situation. Here's one last one with Christian McCaffrey, how he was going to spend the 40 days.
40 days to get ready for training camp.
I'll get ready for training camp. Yeah, a lot of training and recovery and different things, but it'll be dedicated to just getting ready for this season and having a kid. So,
So again, the reason I play those things is because everybody gets asked about the 40 days. McCaffrey did. Kyle did. Demo did. I didn't play the videos. Trent Williams did. You know, Bryce Huff did. All those guys on the last day that the media could talk to them, one of the questions was about the 40 days. How are you going to spend the 40 days? How are you going to spend the 40 days? How are you going to spend the 40 days? Because that's, it's a thing. And so it's not great. And again, he'll come back and nothing, it's not going to be a big deal. This isn't some, you know, DUI charge. It's not a murder charge. It's not, you know, the first thing I thought of when, I think it was actually Pine Needle who alerted me to it late in the show yesterday, before I had seen the story, the first thing that flashed in my mind was, I hope it's not domestic violence. I hope it's not domestic violence. Because then you're getting into the league gets involved. And I, like, so that was the first thing that flashed in my mind is, please don't let it be that, right? You don't want it to be that. First of all, just because it's a terrible thing. But second of all, then the league gets involved and all that kind of stuff. And it's a big deal. So look, is it a big deal? No. Ultimately, it's not going to be a big deal. Is it not ideal because 2024 had all that stuff and you don't want 2025 starting that way? They just gave a speech to one of the leaders of the team who just got a bunch of money. And with that money comes responsibility. And part of the responsibility is, even if you're not in the wrong, and I don't know if he was or he wasn't, you can't screw up. It's only a misdemeanor, Lund. I get it. It was an overzealous cop, Lund. I don't know that, but okay. If it was, I get it. But you still can't put yourself in that situation. You've had a few drinks, probably. You're going back and forth with them. You just go, fine, cool. All right. I'm Demo Lenore, San Francisco 49er, leader of the team. Just got a big contract. Can't get myself in this situation. Even if it's small, even if it's a misdemeanor, even if it's going to get taken care of, it's a distraction to the team. And it's a bad, ominous sign. And the coach and the organization just told you and everybody else, don't screw anything up in these 40 days. I can't make it any more clear than that. All right, that's the situation with Demo Lenore and the 49ers in the 40 days. Love to get your thoughts on that. Comment right below if you'd like. Also on X at John Lund Radio if you want to hit me up that as well. Yes, EB, I will get to Kuminga. That's you know what? Where is it on the chalkboard today? Episode 178, no big deal, not ideal, 40 days of leadership. Let me hit the Giants really quickly. There's not a ton on the Giants today, but I will hit the Giants real quick, and then I have Kuminga on the board. So let me hit Kuminga. Give me 5 minutes here. Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. Maybe I want to give credit where credit is due. I think you might be right that it might have been Tommy yesterday in a super that hit me up with the Demo news. So thank you very much for that correction. I think that is probably right. So there you go. All right, let's get to a little bit of Giants from last night as they get the win. Let me see what I've got here as far as Giants stuff is concerned. I don't have that video of the Bailey hit. Every time I do one of those things, they hit me later and they make me erase things, and that's not ideal for me, so I just don't do it anymore. Let me pop up the box score from last night. Let's explain a few things as they get a win last night. And by the way, they are a wild card team once again. So would my grades have changed from yesterday to today? They might have. I think it's a big deal when you're a wild card team versus not. Yesterday they weren't. Today they are. They're 45-37. The Padres are 44-37. Let me start with pitching because that's always where it starts with this team. A good, not great. Landon Roop, I'll take it though. Look, the White Sox stink. So no earned runs over 5 1/3. Did give up 7 hits. Did walk a couple. Got the 94 pitches in, which to me is a big deal because it means that you are resting your bullpen to a certain extent. Walker still makes me nervous as hell, even though if you watch the game, you know why. Randy Rodriguez is unbelievable. I'm not sure. He's got a 0.75 his ERA, as you can tell there. And I was thinking about the All-Star game, and I'm thinking, you know, they just usually, it's just a bunch of closers, right? Everybody's best closer is part of the All-Star game staff after a few starters. And I don't know if Randy Rodriguez can make it as a setup guy, but God, how can you ignore 0.75? Tyler Rogers gets back on the horse after having a bad outing against Miami. And then Camilo Duvall strikes out two and gets the save for the Gigantes as they beat the White Sox 3-1. I'm sorry if I'm not overly excited. The White Sox just stink. I mean, they just stink. And so even with a close game, I get a little bit like, okay, they won, which is the bottom line to anything. So I shouldn't be so picky with wins. But again, runners in scoring position, as you can see right there, 2-9. Not great. And then you look at the lineup itself and go down to Bailey. That was the big hit. But essentially what happened was, and this happened against the Marlins too, is right fielder went to make a play on the ball, couldn't make the play on the ball. Bailey ends up getting a triple. Like, I'm not going to grade these kind of things, but Patrick Bailey had the big hit of the night, got a couple of RBIs, as you can see there. They were tied at one. He gets the game-winning hit, and so they win the game 3-1. So big things that come out of the game, not a lot. Landon Root was solid. Bullpen gets back on it. I was thinking about Rodriguez as an all-star. Good job by Bailey to get the hit. Bad defense by the White Sox. That's what you get against a bad team. Maybe, you know, we've been saying this all year. Can that give Patrick Bailey confidence? I don't know. It's going to be tough. Yeah, but the bottom of that lineup is still so ugly. They get the win, but cost Bailey wisely. That might be the best. It might be the worst 7-8-9 in the league. But they get the win. And so let's not be picky about this whole situation. Don't be a jerk, Lund. So they get the win over the White Sox. Let's celebrate that for a second. But then let me share you the screen real quick on this stuff. So here's where we are, just so that you know. So as we go down to wild card, Mets, Brewers, and Giants, as you see right there, would be the wild card teams. Dodgers, Cubs, Phillies lead their divisions. Mets, Brewers, Giants, wild card. But again, as we look at that, and I always look at the loss column, you can't give back losses. You can get more wins. You cannot give back losses. So loss column is where it's at. Giants have 37. Padres have 37. And then the Cardinals, I think, are legit. And all of a sudden, the Reds are playing some pretty good baseball. They beat the Padres yesterday, so they're a team that you're going to have to deal with. Diamondbacks come up right after the White Sox. They're kind of treading water since the Burns injury. I don't consider them contenders, although I guess you got to say contender. Anything over 500 is a contender. And in the back of my mind, I keep thinking that the Braves are going to make some sort of a move, and there's a lot of time. Marlins, Washington, Pirates, Rockies, they're out of it. I'm going to say just because of the Braves' track record that they might be able to get back in this thing. But a couple of weeks ago when the Giants played the Braves, they were horrible. And that was a horrible baseball team. So I still think, though, but in legitimacy right now, 37, 37, 38, 39, 40, those teams are all in and against the Giants as far as the wild card is concerned. And for a minute there, we were like, oh, maybe they could be hanging with the Dodgers. They're six back of the Dodgers at this point. And I don't see it unless Buster can go and get another bat. So that's the story as far as the Giants are concerned. Any thoughts on the Giants? Please let me know. But I'll give him the credit. Don't get me wrong. I'll give him the credit. Randy Ray goes today. And I'm not down on Randy Ray at all. He pitched amazingly well in May. Hasn't quite been as good in June. But that's a big start, I think, for him. So there you go. That's what's coming up. White Sox and Gigantes today. I think 1:10 Pacific. Am I right in that? 1:10 Pacific for the Giants and the White Sox from Chicago. And by the way, can I just mention one more thing before we get into a little bit of hoops? Because there's a lot going on in the NBA right now as we're finally to the offseason and things are happening. What did you think of those uniforms last night by the White Sox? That's just not for me. I like the Bulls uniforms on the Bulls. What's weird about that uniform, first of all, is doing the cross-section with the Bulls, and I kind of get it. And I don't know, if the Giants did a Warriors kind of a uniform, I just think it might be weird, or a Niners uniform or something. I think it'd be weird. But there's a White Sox and a Red Sox, and you're the White Sox. And I understand that there's a white sock on that hat, but you're basically red and black, and there's already a Red Sox. So when I was watching the game last night, first of all, I thought they were playing the Reds for a minute. I was like, is that like a Red City Connect? Oh, that's a White Sox City Connect. Like, it's not even close. Like, I get it. You're honoring the Bulls, like the Jordan Bulls. And you're so bad that I guess you got to harken back to, you know, the 90s and the Bulls and all that kind of stuff. I get it. But that's, I don't know. Why? I guess, okay, you've seen it long enough. I guess I'm better than that. Not really. That uniform is probably better looking than me, so I probably should have kept it up. But I guess every once in a while I go on this tangent. Why is it so hard? Like, why is it so hard with all the great designers and people who could design really cool things in our world, not let alone our country, but our world? You could hear Major League Baseball or just any alternative uniform in any professional sport. For the most part, what would you say, 80% are bad, maybe even higher? I don't know. To me, and they're not marketing to me. I get it. So you tell me. And I'm no fashionista. Look at me. I'm terribly dressed. I get it. All right. So I'm absolutely throwing gigantic rocks at a glass house. I totally understand that, but just humor me for a second. Why is it that I think generally, because that's the feedback we get, why is it that they can't design cool uniforms? The All-Star game is coming up. Everybody bitches and moans about the All-Star game, although I will say that they're going back to the uniforms. They're going away from the All-Star type uniforms, and they're going back to the team uniforms, which is always, it always should have been that. So everyone complained enough that it's going to do that. But I don't know what, I don't know why in any sport, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL. Now, the NFL is different because what the NFL does is they do a lot of times it's just a throwback kind of uniform. So when you go back to like the 94 Niners and everybody loves those or whatever. But remember when they tried to go like all black, the Niners tried to go all black and it was like, whoa, a few years ago, what was that, eight or maybe by now it's like 10 years ago. And it was like, oh my God, no, that's just, that's not going to work. And so what the NFL does, what I think is smart, is they go back to old school uniforms. Like the Patriots go back to that sweet old school uniform with the Patriot on the side of the helmet, hiking the ball, or the Chargers went old school. And it was so good that they're like, we're just going to keep these. You know, there's some ugly ones. Like the Steelers have some uniforms, or the Packers have some uniforms that are atrocious. But for the most part, when you go back and you do old school, like Tennessee has done the old Houston Oilers uniforms, like those work, those all work, but they're not new. They're throwbacks. And everyone's like, yeah, the Jets do some throwbacks that are cool. Like throwbacks are cool. That's different. What I'm talking about is like what the White Sox did yesterday. Like, let's do a Bulls uniform. What? Like, it works for the Bulls, and it worked for the Jordan Bulls because they were so good. I mean, hell, those City Connects that the Giants had, let's be honest, the fog ones, those were ugly as hell. Those were terrible. But they won in them, so people were like, well, I kind of like those. And people bought them because their record for a long time was really good. But again, no, I'm not a fashionista. Clearly, look at me. It's terrible. I'm just saying. One of the great mysteries in sports is that given how many designers and how many great people who could come up with amazing things, you're Major League Baseball, you're the NBA, like you could come up with all these great things. People could design awesome uniforms for you. But every time it's like, oh my God, what is that? I'm trying to think who has good, there's a couple of teams, I guess, who have good City Connects that I don't mind so much. The Giants have grown on me a little bit, but I still think they could have done a lot better job. I do like their new City Connects better than their old City Connects, but they're still not great. I like the concept of it, of going, you know, kind of the hippie thing and all that, but it hasn't completely worked. But anyway, I'm sorry to go off on this tangent, but my God, man, it seems like every uniform is just like, oh my God, that's terrible. Like who's doing this? Like, you got to have better access to people who can do better things with this stuff. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, believe me, I don't think they're great. I guess I'm comping them to the fog ones. I did not like the fog ones at all. Didn't like anything about them. So anyway, there you go. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was like. I'm like, when I first turned it on, I'm like, are they playing the Red Sox? Like, what are they doing? Plus, you know, whoever came up with the concept, and I always say this, it has to be somebody that's real higher up because, okay, you come up with it's the Bulls. Basically, you got a Bulls uniform there. And there's already a Red Sox. So even going at the red is stupid and confusing. Like, it, I don't know. It just didn't work. It didn't work for me. I just think that people, get the best designers in the world. You're a huge entity. You're Major League Baseball. You're the NBA. Like, come up with cool stuff. Like, why can't you? I don't get it. Anyway, enough of that. Need to go there. All right. I forgot who. Sure, boy. Good morning to you. It is great to see you. Who else is here today? Joe Schmo is here. Danny, it's good to see you, my friend. Christopher, I'm not sure if I said good morning, but good morning to you. EB here. EB, were you the one who asked about Kuminga? I think you were. Let's get into Kuminga. And you asked about what the $7.9 million offer is. All the $7.9 million, he's a restricted free agent, okay, is what Jonathan Kuminga is. So what you have to do with a restricted free agent is you have to offer him what's called the qualifying offer, all right, so that you it basically just you retain their rights, all right? So what happens with a restricted free agent is you can match anything. So somebody else could go do the negotiating for you, and then they say it's, you know, we're just saying for the sake of conversation, five and 180. Well, you can just say, okay, we'll match that deal and Kuminga stays with us. The qualifying offer, all that does is it lets you retain the rights. So the first step in this process happened, which is they extended Jonathan Kuminga a $7.9 million qualifying offer. Had they not done that, he would have been a free agent right away. Okay, you're a first-round pick, and that's what the advantage of being a first-round pick is. You get that qualifying offer, which makes you a restricted free agent, and the Warriors can match any offer. So that's what happens, the qualifying offer. Where the murkiness starts to come in when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga, as I've told you, And we played this for you yesterday. In fact, you know what? I should go bring it back up. I'm going to bring this up again so that you can, so that we can discuss this and everybody's going to be on the same page here. Let me pull up Mike Dunleavy, which I played for you yesterday, but let me do this real quick. Hang on, Mike. Give me a second. So yesterday, this is what I was talking about. And this is, who's asking these questions? I can't remember, but I will once I hear the voice. But what Mike Dunleavy is saying here and what I've said the whole time about Jonathan Kuminga is now that he's a restricted free agent, this is going to be up to Jonathan Kuminga. So all these people are like, Warriors, they don't have the control. In order for Jonathan Kuminga to sign a long-term deal, he's either going to A, say to the Warriors, I want to be here long-term, or B, and this is the more likely scenario because you just saw in The Athletic the other day, him say he feels like it's time to run his team. The best the Warriors can offer him is 2 years from now. And he's already waited, what, four? So Jonathan Kuminga, even though he's not an old guy, he's only 23 years old, the Warriors are pitching to him, hey, man, when Steph's gone, when Jimmy's gone, when Draymond's gone, you're going to be able to be the king of this team. Everything's going to go through you. It's going to be awesome. And Jonathan Kuminga's sitting there going, I'm ready now. Now, whether he is or not, that's a totally different debate. But in his mind, because he just said this in The Athletic, in his mind, he's saying, no, I'm ready now. I don't want to wait 2 years. I've sat on the bench. They've taken me out of the rotation, and the only reason they played me in the rotation in the playoffs was Steph got hurt. Hardly played in the Houston series. Didn't play in the biggest game of the season at the end of the year when they had to have that Clippers game in the last game of the year. Kuminga didn't play. So they can say all the niceties they want about Jonathan Kuminga now. There's words and there's actions. He didn't play in some of the most important games of the year coming down the stretch. He hardly played in the Houston series, and he only played in the Minnesota series because Steph Curry got hurt. So now they can sit there and say, no, but we want you because they want that safety net, and Joe Lacob really likes him. Jonathan Kuminga's camp is sitting there going, look, we're ready now, and we don't want to wait 2 more years, and who the hell knows what happens in 2 years? What if Jonathan Kuminga blows his knee out? What if Jonathan Kuminga, whatever the case may be, he doesn't want to be here anymore. It's clear. And so this is Mike Dunleavy about 48 hours ago acknowledging the fact that they no longer have control, and the control really lies in Jonathan Kuminga and whether he wants to be a Warrior long term.
I'm going to stress out about it too much, but I think the main thing is making the right decisions, figuring the whole thing out, whether that's, you know, day one or day 10 or whatever it is. So got to be prepared to, you know, take it as far as it goes. But yeah, the priority I would think for both sides is to get something done early.
How much is his desire to come back or not to come back going to play into, you know, beyond just the negotiations, money and years wise, just his desire to be here?
Well, yeah, it's important. I mean, I think from his end, ultimately, he's the one as a free agent that has to sign the contract. So by him doing that, if that happens with us, that's reflective, I think, of his desire to be here. And, you know, we'll see.
Okay, so that's the key point to everything he said is, it's up to Jonathan Kuminga. He just said it's the ball's in his court. And I've been telling you that since near the end of last year is it's not up to the Warriors. And so many people are sitting there going, well, the Warriors won't get what they want back, or the Warriors this, or the Warriors that. It's no longer, the ball is no longer in their court. It is no longer their decision to make. And I've told you this, and you know this, so I don't want to sit here and preach it because I say this almost every day, which is the NBA players have more control than any other professional sport. NBA players, if they want out, they say they want out, and generally the team will say, okay. Like right now, everybody's sitting around going, where's Giannis going to go? Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? And I was looking at their roster yesterday. It's atrocious. It's an atrocious roster, and Brooke Lopez is a free agent, and Damian Lillard's gone. And look, they're not going to contend in the East at all. Now, if Milwaukee can convince him somehow, some way, that we're going to do A, B, and C, and we can contend, maybe he'll stay. But logic tells you that at some point, Giannis is going to say, this isn't going to be for me. So let me stick a pin in Kuminga for a second, because I saw this yesterday. I meant to put it on the show, and I didn't. Man, those are small. But you can see right there where I've highlighted. And these don't ever come true. They're just, like I told you, they're clickbait porn, which is the Warriors are at 20-1, according to the powers that be. But if you see at the top there, the Spurs, I think the Spurs do make a ton of sense. And this is just Vegas saying what's logical. Spurs make a lot of sense. They've got a lot of young players. The Heat, I don't know who Milwaukee would take off the Heat unless they don't want to give you. Here's the thing. Oh, I take Bam Adebayo. They're not going to do that. I'll take Tyler Hero. They're not going to do that. They're not going to give you those kind of guys. They want a big three, and they want those guys on the team. What else you got? Knicks, that would make sense. You want Carl Anthony Towns to build around if you're Milwaukee? Not really. Brooklyn's got the cap space. They don't have anybody. Why would you want to go to Brooklyn? They don't have anybody. Toronto has been a team that has been talked about. The Cavs just made a move today for Lonzo Ball. That doesn't mean that they couldn't get Giannis, but they've got some young players. They just got disappointed in the playoffs. That makes sense. The Mavericks, they're not going to give up Cooper Flagg. They're not going to give up Anthony Davis. If you're Milwaukee, what you're looking for here is picks and a build-around player. The perfect case scenario is a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander type. In other words, Oklahoma City was treading water. They trade Paul George to the Clippers. They get picks and a young player. The young player is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the picks, and they still got tons of them. And now you're awesome again. So it's not going to be like an Anthony Davis for a Giannis. That doesn't make sense for Milwaukee. It's young players. Houston just made the move for Durant. That's doubtful. Boston is treading or giving away salary. Memphis, I don't see a fit there unless Milwaukee thinks they can build around Ja Morant, which they wouldn't want to. Oklahoma City is not going to take that big of a swing. They just won the title. Why would they blow the thing up? The Lakers could, but again, who are you giving up if you're the Lakers? Who's Milwaukee going? Oh, I can't wait to get that guy. Austin Reeves and a bunch of picks. I don't think that gets it done. So anyway, I'm going down the line in this whole thing, but San Antonio makes the most sense. I know that a bunch of people have always said Warriors, Warriors, Warriors. Here's the one caveat I would say of Giannis to the Warriors, regardless of what those dumb odds say that are never accurate. If he wants to come here, and there's been all sorts of speculation through the years that Giannis wants to play with Steph Curry, but if he wants to come here, if he looks at the Warriors and says, I know Oklahoma City, I know Houston, I know San Antonio, I know all these teams are really good, I know Dallas just got Cooper Flagg, but I think if I go to the Warriors in a certain situation, we could win. And you know what's really funny is people, like, again, this is just dumb social media stuff. It's like, would they part with Draymond Green? It's like, are you insane? Of course they would in a trade for Giannis. But here's the thing, and I always tell you this, you're the other GM. You want to build around Draymond Green at 34? Of course you don't. They don't want Draymond Green. The Bucks don't want Draymond Green. Are you kidding? Like, you got to match salary somehow, so you've got to, you know, there's got to be someone like that in there. And Draymond Green makes a ton of sense from a Warriors perspective because we're bringing in a big who generally can't shoot, but is a, you know, he's a great player. So he's going to play Draymond's position, so we want to get rid of Draymond. So you'd need a third team. You know, like get the Lakers in there or something. You need a third team because Draymond's not going to Milwaukee to lose. Can you imagine he'd be just like, are you kidding? You have to move him to another team. So if you're Milwaukee, if Draymond Green's part of a deal, there's a third or a fourth team involved. And it's hard enough to make a two-team trade, let alone a three-team trade. So he's got to go to a winning team. He's not going to Milwaukee. Are you kidding? He'd lose his mind. He's not going there. So it'd be like a three-team trade. The Lakers get involved. They get Draymond Green. Milwaukee gets, I don't know, Austin Reeves, Jonathan Kuminga, bunch of picks. Giannis goes to the Warriors. You know, Lakers get, I don't know. They can't just get Draymond Green for Reeves. I don't think they would do that. But anyway, you get my point, is that if Giannis says, I want to go to the Warriors, I've won you a championship, I've done what I was supposed to do here, Milwaukee would trade him. And they'd try to get the best deal back that they possibly could. But that's just how the league works nowadays. Your superstar player says, you know what, this ain't working for me. And I don't know how Giannis could come to any other conclusion. Damian Lillard is out. Middleton's on Washington. What has he got? Kyle Kuzma next to him. That ain't going to work. You might be a playoff team in the East because the East is so bad. They might be like a 6-7-8 in the East, get knocked out in the first round. That's not ideal for Giannis. So look, maybe he just loves Milwaukee. I don't know. Maybe he just loves it. Going to stay. Wants to be one of those one team guys. You know, back in the day, it's like, look, we have a roller coaster ride. My team's good. My team's bad. I stay. My team's bad. My team's good. I stay. That's how it used to be. Like, we're going to get players. I'm going to get players here. We're going to do this thing. Milwaukee's not exactly a preferred destination in the NBA. It's ultimately why LeBron had to leave. He's like, team players aren't coming to Cleveland. They're not scratching and clawing just because I'm here to come to Cleveland. There are certain destinations. It's just, look, you can have all the free agent money you want under the cap. They're not coming here. So, and Milwaukee's probably one of those places. Not a bad city, and I'm not ripping on the city. I'm simply saying that it's not a preferred destination. So everybody's kind of waiting on Giannis is the point. And could Kuminga be part of a deal in Milwaukee if Giannis decides this is where he wants to go? Absolutely. But that's why everybody's kind of sitting back. But let me go back to now. Okay, so that's the Giannis side of the thing. Now, let's say this Giannis isn't part of it, just talking about Kuminga. Kuminga's going to decide. Brooklyn's the only team with salary cap space that it could absorb such a just straight up. That's the only team. But if you know, if you read something where people say that's the only place he can go, that could not be further from the truth. It's Kuminga saying this is the situation. It's one of two things going to happen. Either Kuminga says, I don't care where you send me. It's just got to be a place where I can run the show or be a one or two option. And I'm playing 35 minutes a night so I can see what I'm going to, what I am. Cause we don't know what Kuminga is. He doesn't know what he is. Honestly, if you ask Jonathan Kuminga, are you a superstar? Like he'll probably tell you, yeah, but he doesn't in the back of his mind. He hasn't done it. So he doesn't even know. Like, how could anybody know? Like everybody speculates. I think he is. I think he isn't. He doesn't even know. And that's what's burning inside of him is, I don't know what I am. I don't even know. I got to go to a team and I got to find out in 35 minutes a night if I can do this. Like, to go back to the Ace Bailey situation yesterday, it looks like he's finally going to, I don't know if he has because I haven't looked this morning. He was going to report to UDOT today. And one of the reasons, you know, they talked to his agent. And they said, dude, Ace Bailey's 18 years old. If he was on a Warriors or somebody like that, he'd sit 2 or 3 years. He's going to go to Utah. He's going to play 35 minutes a night. We're going to find out what he is right away. And that was appealing to the kid, apparently, and he's going to show up, I think. Same thing with Kuminga. Like, Kuminga's like, I don't care if it's Utah. I don't care if it's Charlotte. I don't care if it's, you know, put in the, I don't care if it's Brooklyn. He doesn't care at this point. He just wants to go to a place where he can play. And either he is or he isn't. I personally speaking, I think that Jonathan Kuminga can be like a Jordan Poole type. He can score 20. He can grab, you know, 8 boards. He can be a guy. He can be an all-star. He can put up numbers. But I don't think he's going to be a, and I'm not going to say a Steph Curry because that's way too far. I mean, the extremes are here. I think he can be a solid player in this league. But I don't know. I'm speculating. I don't know that he has it, but who's to say? But he wants to find out. So he's not going to sign long-term here. And so now it's up to the Warriors to possibly say, what's the best situation? The problem is, hang on one sec. The problem is, if Jonathan Kuminga says, you know, let's say that he has a conversation with somebody, with a team, and they, you know, blow all the smoke and say, you're going to be the guy and we're going to build around you and we really want you and this and this and this. Then he's going to go to the Warriors and say, that's the team I want to go to. Make out your best deal. Like, let's just say for the sake of conversation, it's Brooklyn. And they sign him to some ridiculous deal because they're the only team under who have the cap space to do it. And the Warriors could match it. But if Kuminga goes to the Warriors, his agent goes to the Warriors and says, we don't want you to match it. Let's do a sign and trade here. That's what the Warriors are going to do. And unfortunately, in a team like Brooklyn, what talent do they have? I mean, you're looking for size. So they've got some size on their team, but they're not great. So anyway, that's the latest on him. Kuminga is not the dude. Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you, but I don't know 100%. Now, is it going to be Curry? Is it going to be Durant? Is it going to be? No, I don't think that. And I've told you this a million times. There's people within the organization that will not be unhappy that he leaves. I know that. All right. What else do we have on Kuminga? Any more thoughts there? Yeah, I'm concerned about this too. I got to reach out to him. Thanks, man. Thanks, Brian, for bringing that up. And like I said, I'm just kind of picking and choosing here, so I don't know what you guys are talking about. But yeah, I need to catch up with him. I don't know what's going on there. I thought his daughter was okay, so I don't know what's happening, but we need to find out. All right. Let's see. What else do we have on the agenda today? So it is episode 178. No big deal, but not ideal when we talk about Demo Lenore. The 40 days, I told you why that's so important and why the 49ers, regardless of this being a misdemeanor, are not going to be real happy with one of their leaders that they paid a bunch of money to. The Giants win. Roop was solid, 3-1. Bailey gets that game-winning hit when it was tied at 1. We just explained the Jonathan Kuminga situation. This is something I wanted to bring up yesterday and didn't get to, and I kept on my board today. So the Warriors get a couple of second-rounders. I don't know if the guys can play or not. Who knows? But has anybody had more success in the second round recently than the Warriors? You know, second round is usually like, eh, we'll see. Kind of a crapshoot. I mean, Trace Jackson Davis, Geese Santos, say what you want about Pascal, Draymond Green, obviously, Monte Ellis, Gilbert Arenas. I mean, my goodness, man. Now we're going back a ways to Gilbert Arenas. What's that, 25 years ago? But still, I mean, you get that much second round talent. Quentin Post looked like he might be a player. So, you know, teams like second rounders because it's like, well, let's just see what this guy can do, or they can stash him somewhere or whatever. But I mean, over the last number of years, I've got highlighted there 2, 4, 6, 6 guys. Post might, looks like he might be a player, 7 guys. You do that over the last 25 years. I mean, those are quality players right there. Draymond Green, obviously Monte Ellis, you know, Agent Zero. Say what you want about Santos. I mean, he's not great, but look, he played in the playoffs. I like Trayce Jackson-Davis. I think sometimes he's underutilized, but they've had good success in the second round. So I'm not saying that who they took in the second round, maybe they make it, maybe they don't. I don't know. You know, I don't know these guys all that well. These two guys they got in the second round, we'll see. But they've been able to utilize second rounders. They've been able to do a pretty good job, about as well as anybody, maybe better than anybody, as far as the second round is concerned. So I don't know what these guys are going to bring to the table. We'll watch them in the summer league and see. But pretty good success rate as far as the Warriors in the second round. One NBA trade this morning, and I got to be honest, you know, his dad really didn't do him any favors. Then he's had a ton of injuries. And Lonzo Ball is never going to live up to the draft selection of number 2 where they took him. De'Aaron Fox, a better player, and they took Lonzo, did the Lakers back in the day ahead of De'Aaron Fox. But the Bulls are agreeing to trade Lonzo to the Cavs for Isaac Okoro. I'm not an Isaac Okoro fan, but Lonzo Ball can be a good guard in a 3-guard rotation, and I would have loved to see the Warriors grab somebody like that. Now, I know they need size, don't get me wrong. But Lonzo Ball, good ball handler, has improved his shooting, even though it's a funky-looking shot. He's never going to be a great shooter, but he certainly improved it. He's a really good defender. He's long. He's athletic. Now, look, the injuries have taken their toll. There's no doubt. I'm not saying he's a 35 to 40-minute a night, you know, starter, star player. But as players who come off the bench are concerned, he's a big guard who could have taken some of the playmaking burden off of Steph Curry. Would have loved him in a 3-guard rotation. But he got a decent-sized contract. He'd cost too much money, but that's a nice move. Like, the reason I bring it up is because it's always good teams ripping off bad teams, and it doesn't matter the sport, and it doesn't matter the generation. You know, Cleveland right now is a good organization, good team, had a great regular season, disappointing playoff, but they go to the Bulls and they say, who are trying to probably shed money, and say, hey, Isaac Okoro for Lonzo Ball, and the Bulls go, okay. It's like, I was like, Gregor isn't, I don't know, he doesn't do anything for me. I think Ball's a nice 3rd guard in a 3-guard rotation, and he can do a lot of things. And I'm not penciling him in for an all-star game, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, the Livingston types, you know, that type of a player where they come off the bench, they do a solid job. They can do it on both ends of the court. He can ball handle. He's got some good size. He can guard a few different positions. He can guard 1, 2, 3. You know, he's got a very high basketball IQ, just a very, that's a good basketball player. Nice player to have off your bench. Too expensive for the Warriors. But when I saw that this morning, I'm like, oh, that would have been a nice player for them to pick up. So he goes to Cleveland, who further strengthens themselves, even though they had a great regular season, they had a disappointing playoff. And that's a nice trade. That's a nice trade for them. So the Warriors need to get bigger. There's no question, but a player like that would have been nice. All right, gave you the Kuminga. We did the Warriors second round. We gave you the Giannis odds. Anything else today? I mean, look, he's, like I said, he's never going to be an all-star. I'm not trying to suggest that. It's just, I like that. I like that move. That's a nice trade. Isaac Okoro for Lonzo. I'm sure there's a financial situation there for Chicago, but I mean, God, it's the 3rd largest market in the country, the Bulls, Chicago. It drives me crazy. Again, I'm not a Bulls fan. It's just, I tell you this all the time. Major market teams in any sport acting like a small market team drives me crazy. So anyway, there's that. Let's see, what else do we have today? All right, let me, random things. We haven't done a lot of random things today, so I apologize for that. But like I said, we just usually do a quick hour on Saturdays to say hello and make sure everybody survived on a Friday night. Anything else we need to do? People are pissed about those White Sox uniforms. That's hilarious. All right, let me do this. I said I would do this yesterday. Well, I guess we'll call this a Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol just because I like playing the music. So let me do this really quickly and play some background music for you. This isn't really necessarily a caboose, but what the hell? Let's just play the music anyway.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose Pistol?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
Actually, I do have one caboose-ish kind of a story, and then I have a video to show you. If you had never seen this place, this was my first job. So anyway, I'll do that secondly. But here is, as if Tom Brady did not have the perfect life already, broadcaster, what's that deal worth? $325, $350 million. Did have a supermodel wife, and now apparently he was chatting up Sydney Sweeney at the Bezos wedding, which I have an opinion on as well. But look, I don't know that they're together or anything like that. I think there's like a 25-year age gap or something like that. But still, he's an attractive man. Probably HGH keeps himself looking really, really good. So who knows? But Sydney Sweeney is certainly the it girl and has been for quite a while. Bezos, wedding, Brady, I don't know. Like I said, New York Post, they're always chatting stuff up. But maybe, I mean, maybe that's just the latest. As far as the Bezos wedding is concerned, I know he's got the money, clearly. I mean, he's the Amazon guy, all that kind of stuff. You know that. I would never, even if I had the money, I wouldn't spend $20 million on a wedding. I got married older. I got married in my early 30s for the first time, and it was all I could do. I think I threw in, and her dad was nice enough to like split the wedding with me. But when you're young, it gets paid for. When you get a little bit older, you got to kick in some money. And we had a great wedding and everything, but I think that I probably kicked in $20,000 or $25,000 to it, and that made me want to vomit. I mean, that wasn't even that much money, but it made me want to vomit because, and that wasn't the honeymoon or anything. That was the actual wedding, and we had a great one. And because I couldn't go into a church or it would burn to the ground and it would get hit with lightning bolts, so we went to this church, and not this church, but this place that was like a wedding reception area, and it was this old. Really cool place and these hardwood floors. It was really classic. And so it had a place where you got married. And then it had this really cool party room in this old school building that they had converted to a, like a wedding and a reception and everything. And it was a really cool place. And, you know, and we had an open bar. And of course, given my friends, they all sucked up as much booze as they can. And it's not like they were drinking well stuff, they rock gut stuff. They were drinking high end stuff. So the bill was pretty high. So I think I probably covered the bar or something like that. But anyway, it was $25,000, and that was a ton to me. And then her dad covered. So, I mean, I think our wedding was probably $50,000, and maybe we want to puke that it was that much. And so I know Bezos has more money than God, but $20 million? My goodness, man. I mean, that couldn't have been better spent. I don't want to be one of those people. It's your money. You can do whatever the hell you want with it. You don't have to donate all of it. And I'm sure he donates tons of money. But my God, $20 million? When you know that it's probably less than 50-50 that this thing lasts. I don't know. What's the over-under on the Bezos wedding? I don't know. But it's probably, I mean, they'll probably stay. I mean, rich people and stuff, and he's real busy, and, you know, he's infatuated with her now. Probably 5 years from now, they get divorced. She gets, you know, whatever she gets. Could you imagine what the prenup looks like for Jeff Bezos? I mean, that thing is like a fortress. Like, there's going to be a lawyer that's going to try to, when they get divorced, there's going to be a lawyer that's going to be like, trying to chisel away at that thing. It's like, dude, that thing is Fort Knox. She's getting what she's getting. Like, she'll get, I don't know, $25 million or $50 million or whatever the case. And then it's like, go away. Then they'll be on to the next one. So great that you spent $20 million in about 5 years or maybe less. I'll go 5 years over under on that wedding. And they spent $20 million. That's ridiculous. All right, so there's that part of the Weekly Family Friendly Caboose Festival. Let me give you this one. So, do you know what Wiener Schnitzel is? Do you know the place Wiener Schnitzel? And so ignore the fact that this is down in L.A. because you're going to be like, okay, man, this is in L.A. Yeah, see, Mary's with me. And Mary probably said this before I did. 5 years. I agree with you, Mary. I think the over-under on that's 5 years at the most. I might even go less than that. I might go 3.5. But you said 5, so I'm going to stick it with it. But I don't know if it's going to say she gets nothing. I mean, it could, because I mean, for the next 5 years or however long this thing lasts, she's going to live the life. I mean, the amazing life. But after that, she might get something. There's got to be something. But anyway, all right. So my first job, I've told this story before, but I've never seen a video like this, was at Der Wiener Schnitzel. And Wiener Schnitzel is a hot dog joint. You probably know it. It started in L.A. And the thing was terrible about it before I play this video for you was it was right by our high school, right? And so I would be back there, and most fast food places, you can't really see the people in the back, but there's the front part, and then there was kind of a metal thing where you put like the hot dogs or the whatever the stuff is done, but you could see me back there. And so all the football players and the jocks and all the people, and, you know, girls and stuff, they'd come in there and they'd look back there and they'd see me back there. And I had one of those dorky looking hats on, like a paper hat and all this kind of stuff. And I think I was the fry cook. So what happened with the fry cook is, I think I was 15 at the time. Your zits and acne go crazy because it's just oily and gross and stuff like that. And so, you know, I'm getting bad acne because of this stuff. And back in the day, I'm making just nothing. And I think I've told this story. In fact, you know what? I'll wait for the rest of the story. But here is, if you've never seen a Der Wiener Schnitzel, I was flipping through videos and I saw this. And this is the place, my first job. My first job.
This deal is legit, bro. All right, now we sound like a sponsored host, bro. But that is, this is not,
dude,
sponsored.
Look at, do the math. $4.19 or 2 for $6? Could I get the chili cheese deal, please?
There we go. What's up with the A-frame?
Architecturally, the A-frame stands out. It's memorable. And now it's beyond kitschy, where it's like historic architecture for fast food and otherwise.
So one of the cool things about Wiener Schnitzel is ketchup and mustard color. That reminds people of hot dogs, and those are the common toppings on hot dogs.
But they're also known for the drive-through, which is literally driving through the building. There she is in all her glory.
Looks like a messy bathroom.
I'm putting myself back on stage. He goes, looks like a messy bathroom. And when I saw that, there's more to the video, but that's enough. When I saw that hot dog and that chili and all that stuff, it just brought back all these bad memories of making those things. But like I said, that's all I did, is I sat back there. And there's like chili dogs and chili cheese and regular ones. And then there's like a Polish where you put it on rye bread and with a pickle and all this stuff. It just, all these bad memories flowed back, and the fries and everything. But yeah, I worked in one of those things. That was my first job. I was 15. Two worst parts of it were, he talked about red and yellow, but the other color was brown. And so when I went to work, they had this brown polyester that you had to wear. So you could wear like black pants or something, but the shirt was like a brown polyester with yellow and red. I don't care if you were Tom Brady or Sweeney, you couldn't look good in it. Like, you could be the best looking person on earth, I don't care who it was. Brown, red, yellow, not a good color combination. Just not good at all. And so you look terrible. And then they make you wear one of those mesh hats, which is like awful, just a terrible look. And so everyone was laughing at me when I was in there. But the funniest part about the whole thing was, and my dad knew this, so, you know, when you're young, you don't know about taxes and all this different kind of stuff or whatever, and you're just like, okay. So I had worked there my first couple of weeks, and I go to pick up my paycheck. I asked my dad. I didn't have a driver's license yet. I asked my dad. I'm like, you know, it's payday, man. Payday. Can we go get my check? And he says, yeah, we'll go get your check. So we get in the car, we go down there. I can still remember this day. And, you know, I go to the back door, knock on it, open the door. There's a little office right there. And they say, can I have my paycheck? Yeah. So obviously nowadays they just put the money in your account. So I grab the check. I run out to my dad's car. I open up the check and had these taxes taken out. So I think my first check that I ever got, and I know this is going to sound ridiculous, was like $42. And I was expecting it to be like $100, which back in that day, like $100. Oh my God, the world is my oyster, man. I can do anything I want. I didn't know about taxes. And my dad didn't tell me about it because he wanted me to learn that way. So I get like $42 and I just start bawling. I'm like, I did all this work and fries and everybody made fun of me and I had to wear brown polyester. And sure enough, my dad just starts laughing. I'm like, what are you laughing about? And he's like, son, welcome to the world. They're called taxes. Uncle Sam gets his cut. That's the way it goes. Because when you're a young kid, you know this, like your dad hands you $20, $25, $40, whatever the case may be. And you're like, yeah, taxes. What are you talking about? I get my money. It's like, no. There's this. And, you know, in California, right? There's this. And they take all your stuff. And you're like, you've got to be kidding me. I got $42. I wanted to quit. He's like, you're not quitting. You are not quitting. This is what you're going to do. You're going to stick it out. And I'm like, oh my God, for $42. Anyway, that's my story. Wiener Schnitzel. That was my first job. Der Wiener Schnitzel. Oh, they did close down. I didn't know that. They did close down. All right. Yeah. I got to be honest with you. The food was not great. And that was the whole thing, was like, they would tell you too, like, well, as part of your compensation, you get, you know, half price food. And it's like, so after a while, like, you make yourself a chili cheese dog or something, you know, because your shift, you get a lunch break. So your lunch break is, you don't bring in other food. You're eating Der Wiener Schnitzel, like hot dogs all the time and all that kind of stuff. And you know, after a while, you're like, okay, I've had 92 chili dogs this week. Like, I'm good. That's why, like, when the guy played, had the chili dog there, I was like, bleh. Like, I've eaten so many damn, so let me go back here.
Workman-like dog, man. Gets the job done. Was it elite? Probably not. The way I truly feel, it's a good snack. Grab and go, you feel like.
Yeah. I mean, no, I had 100 of those things. I see those things even nowadays. I mean, that was 30 years ago, and I'm like, bleh. Like, no. No, 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 no. They were terrible. I mean, that looked good. No, they're not good. Not good. Even though I would say, like, if you go to, like, I am always surprised that, not that a hot dog would ever be a hamburger in our society. Like, a hamburger is the thing, right? But hot dogs are damn good. And there's actually a place by me called Devil Dogs. I don't know if you know of it, but, or if you go to Chicago or something. My folks are from Chicago. And one of the first things we have to do, we have to get pizza. My dad, there's two things we have to do. Pizza and a Vienna beef. And those things are a different ballgame. I mean, those things have like the relish and the sport peppers and that's a whole deal. And then they put the fries in them, the fresh cut fries, and they wrap it in together. That's a whole new different ballgame. That's a whole different ballgame. So anyway, no. You do a chili dog, right? With some cheese and some onions and all that stuff. It's good. It's just that, you know, I eat like 92 a week. Because that's what they offered you. They're like, well, it's time for lunch break. Here you go. Have a chili dog. I'm like, ugh, man. Okay, there you go. See, there's still one. And it's not like I wouldn't go because I don't think I've had one in like 30 years. But that was my first gig. Brown polyester shirt, mustard and ketchup colors on it with one of those, you know, those fast food, like weird looking hat things, you know? It was a bad look. And if I had a girlfriend at the time, it was like, please don't come into Wiener Central with your friends. And they would. And there's the girl that I kind of like. And she's got like three girlfriends. And they're looking back there, looking for me and stuff. I'm like, I run straight to the back. They're like, wait, fries are up. Because I was like, fry guy. They're like, fries, you got to get the fries. They're going to burn. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not coming out there. I'm not going to be seen. No chance. I wish they had like hats like this and I could just go like that. It's not me. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway. Right, there you go. And that hot chili, totally. You could smell it 2 to 3 blocks away. Oh, that's outstanding. All right, there you go. That is a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol embarrassing myself. That was my first job. Der Wiener Schnitzel. That is episode 178 on a Saturday edition of the program. Episode 178, no big deal, but not ideal when it comes to Demo Lenore. 40 days, I explained that to you. The 40 days are a big deal. That's why this is a big deal, because Kyle Shanahan said to all the players, and they say this every year, and every team does, please don't screw up in these 40 days. You might as well just say we're in the regular season, because now if you screw up or you gain 10 pounds or you get arrested or you do any of these things, then we're so close to the season that it cannot be undone, and especially with 2024, and we don't want to have, you know, we don't want to have these things and these ominous signs and all this kind of stuff. So no big deal, but not ideal, especially for one of the leaders that you just paid a bunch of money to. Giants win. They're back at it today at 110 against the White Sox. Robbie Ray on the mound. Bailey gets a big hit. If I have to hear one more time about how a big hit for a player who's not performing offensively is going to get him going, oh, my God. Hopefully it does, though. Kuminga explained he did sign the $7.9 million qualifying offer. Excuse me. It was made by the Warriors, which just means that they retain his rights. Warriors second round success, Giannis odds, random things, and my first job, as well as Tom Brady and Sydney Sweeney. That is the Saturday show. Thanks to everybody, EB and Pine, Kenny, and then Kenneth, and all these people, Hurley Bird coming in today. Thank you for making the time on a Saturday. Joe Schmo, Shrimp Boy coming in today. Somebody let me know what's going on with Skills, man. Everything okay there? Mary. Easy, what's going on, Easy BX? It's good to see you today as well. So lots of people jumping in. Daniel, and I mentioned you. Lots of people in here. Jake is in here. So anyway, thanks for making the time on a Saturday. We appreciate it. Please keep those alerts on so we can send you more stuff and you know when this stuff is happening. Hit us with the like, please, before you get out of here today. Hit us with a like so that the algorithm will like us. Make sure you're subscribed to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. And you see the big B there, Bay Area Sports Collective. Make sure that you hit us there as well, because that's my show. Tom Tolbert, Polly Mack, Creative Tony, Amy G, Rod Brooks, and Jeremy Offeld. So it's a great thing. Lots of great content for you there. So hit that at Bay Area Sports Collective. And thanks for watching on X today as well. Remember, questions, comments, thoughts, you don't have to agree with me. hit them in the comment section underneath here, or I'm always on X at John Lund Radio. And for all things Unleashed, just go to johnlundunleashed.com. Everybody have a tremendous Saturday, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!